to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to the show. It is Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday, the end of another crazy week here, and it's just getting weirder and weirder as we go along. Now, turning to the financial news, as we normally do at this stage of the show here, the Dow basically ended down for the entire week. The financial news are going, oh, well, you know, it's a bad sign. But the other financial news they're not reporting continues to just get worse and worse and worse. I mean, record unemployment in some parts of the country, 30-year highs in the number of unemployed people. We're hearing about people are running out of their benefits. They're falling off the rolls. It's just really ugly out there. And some of the stuff that is coming on down is really a cause for concern. I want to start here with Ron Paul. Ron Paul has basically gone on record opposing Obama's new regulatory reform plan, which basically hands the Federal Reserve, a privately owned bank, the majority of whose owners are foreigners. They're not even Americans. And they're going to be given complete dictatorial control over the U.S. economy. Okay? And this makes the Federal Reserve, a private bank, more powerful than the U.S. Congress. Here's what's going on. Finally figured it out. The Federal Reserve has foreclosed on the U.S. government. That's what's happened behind the scenes. They're not using that word. They're not saying this is what's going on. They're calling it regulatory reform. The Federal Reserve suckered the U.S. government into borrowing $65 trillion in debt and pledging you and your property and your labor and your children as the collateral. And the Federal Reserve has just foreclosed. So they're being put in charge of the nation's finances. And folks, go back and look through history. Whenever a privately owned bank is in charge of a nation's economy, it is never good for the people. You are about to get screwed. You thought it was bad up until now. It is going to just get worse from here on out. And you know something? The first sign of it has to do with last year they passed the Housing and Economic Recovery Act of 2008, which provided general revenue funds to help the mortgage and banks industry. And one of the provisions in there, allows for the demolition of certain homes. They're calling them blighted properties, with the definition of blight kind of up in the air. And what they're doing is they're demolishing these homes. Officially, they're saying to preserve the value of the mortgages currently held by the banking industry. Now, this is nonsense, because the mortgages currently held by the banking industry, they keep their value. It doesn't matter what property values you're doing. The promise has already been made and signed for. And the Senate voted down that bill that would have allowed judges to revalue a mortgage lower because the property value had declined. So the mortgage held by the bank, that's protected. The money is protected. The nation's highest priority, protect the money. Forget the people, protect the money. The bulldozing is designed to create an artificial shortage to push housing values back up. They want to go back to the out-of-control, sky-high housing prices, because the more you have to spend to buy a house, the more you have to borrow, the more the bank will make off of you in interest payments throughout your entire life. That's the goal here. In a nation with rampant homelessness, the U.S. government fix for the economy is to start knocking houses down to make the houses that are available for purchase much more expensive. Obviously, that's good for the banks and the bankers. It's terrible for you and I. Because if we're working and spending everything that we earn just for our housing, we don't have money left over for medical care. We don't have money left over for education. We don't have money left over for pretty much anything. I mean, the whole idea was that we could go on borrowing as long as housing prices were going up. But obviously, this idea that housing prices must always go up, that's a complete lie. Or, as we're seeing right now, it is a manufactured phenomenon. It is not market forces. It is not the natural supply and demand mechanism that sets a price. The U.S. government that takes so much money from you in taxes, the U.S. government that has added just in the last 6 months another $100,000 in tax debt to every household, is going to reward you for that generosity by making sure that you pay a lot more for your home in the future than otherwise might have been the case. I mean, who is the government pandering to here, obviously? They're not here to take care of you. They're not worried about whether or not you can afford the housing you're living in. They could care less. They just need those housing prices to go back up because that makes the banks and brokerages and mortgage companies and insurance companies happy because the houses are worth more. But here's where the whole thing is going to fall flat. Because the government is not looking at the reality that we, the American people, don't have the jobs anymore that we used to have that allowed us to pay the mortgages the last time housing prices were up. And so here's what the U.S. government has done to you. The U.S. government has taken away your high-paying jobs. And now that the economy is collapsing and housing prices are being dragged down by normal market forces, the government is going to start bulldozing homes to drive housing prices back up, because then you'll buy a more expensive house and you'll have to give the bank more of your money in interest payments in the future. And that solves the problem. Except it doesn't, because the jobs aren't coming back. I am looking at this confluence of decisions by the U.S. government. The tax law that made it advantageous, that was an inducement, an incentive for American companies to move their manufacturing jobs to other countries, coupled with these very, very damaging fiscal policies, damaging for you and I, the repeal of Glass-Steagall, for example. I'm beginning to think that those people who think somebody wants to crash the U.S. economy deliberately may have been accurate. And the payoff may be putting the U.S. government into such a financial condition that the Federal Reserve can come in and effectively foreclose on the U.S. government. So bankers are now in charge of the country. It's what they have wanted to do for the last 100 years. Actually, for the last 200, ever since the U.S. was set up with its own government-issued currency, the bankers of Europe have been saying, horrors, we can't have that. It is the natural order of things for bankers to rule the world. Put me in control of a nation's finances, and I care not who makes the laws. That's where we are right now. And if you think the bankers who went to such extremes to put you into such hideous debt, and now they're foreclosing on the government, they're taking control of the government, do you think they're doing it for your benefit? I don't think so. You're a fool if you think this is going to improve the situation. It isn't. Absolutely not. All right, we're going to go to the phones. We've got Bob in Arkansas. Aloha, Bob. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Hey, I've heard you talking about these the Christian thoughts and stuff, and I've got this new book I just been reading, and you got to check this one out. It's called The Earth Manifesto, mm-hmm. and it tells the truth about man-made religions. And it's going from a historical perspective. There's history and there's references and stuff like this. It's really neat. Very enlightening. And talk about liberating. Wow.
Well, all religions are man-made. And the real failing is that man is never able to invent a truly superior God.
Yeah, exactly. It's made in man's image. And there's all the frailties that come
well,
with it.
Well, yeah, there's your problem right there.
Yeah.
You know, the blueprint is shot, you know.
Here's your problem, lady, right there.
Yeah.
You're looking the wrong direction.
I the flying spaghetti monster actually is better behaved than most of the gods that have been invented throughout human history.
Oh, yeah, you can't invent them. You got to go by what's really there, and that's really what this one's talking about, the energy. That's what's real.
I think most people who invent a religion, the way, Scientology, L. Ron Hubbard did.
Oh, yeah, the L. Ron Hubbard brother.
They basically say, what would I do if I had godlike powers to do anything I wanted and nobody could ever touch me or punish me for doing wrong? How would I behave? And that's
exactly
what they, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. That's kind of what the way this guy puts it together. He talks about different parts of a religion and what it's made of, and he talks about things like that. It's really neat. Some guy V.H. Roberts or something. He was a former minister.
Okay. Bob, got to let you go. Thanks for the call. Thank you very much. We got to take a break here. We'll be right back.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Genesis Communications Network. And now, set your eyes on the future, and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We got a caller on the line, Mike in Maryland. Aloha, Mike. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I really enjoy your show and your website. Go to it every morning. Of course, I see that every time I call in. And as much as I respect your intelligence and your acumen or acumen, however you pronounce it, I think maybe in the short term, you're right. Maybe the banks are somehow naively thinking they're going to boost the prices up and they're going to gain profits. But maybe there's a bigger agenda. Maybe that's almost a cover for an overarching plan. And you probably have heard of Agenda 21, haven't you?
Enlighten me, please.
Well, Agenda, you can Google it easily enough. There's websites that kind of break down the doublespeak and the legalese and the bureaucratic talk from the UN. But it's basically a plan for the UN. And you can see the map. I can maybe email it to you as well. But basically, they want to make virtually 90% of the country off limits to human habitation.
I'm looking at that right now. Yeah, and I have heard of this before. And the idea is that we're all supposed to be forced to live in the cities.
Compact cities. And
it's good for the environment and blah, blah, blah. Basically, what it means is it's easier for them to come and tax us and put us to work where they want to. And I have seen this. I'm very much opposed to it. I think nature intended us to live uniformly across the entire surface of the planet, being supported by and supporting the immediate environment around us. And the more they pack us into little tiny cities, the more dependent we become on their infrastructure. In a way, it's a pen. That's what a large city is. It's a human ranch. And you're all in there, you're dependent on their infrastructure, you're dependent on them for whatever, and as a result, you wind up working your entire life for whoever rules the city. And as I was saying before on the other show, when you buy a house, by the time you're through paying off the mortgage and the interest, you will pay the bank 3 to 4 to 5 times as much money as the actual house costs. And doesn't that strike you as a little bit weird that, you know, the people who build the house and the carpenters and the material suppliers and the people who got the wood, they get less money than the bank, which all it did was run up the printing press and give you the little paper certificates to go out and buy the house. And yet they get the lion's share of your life's work for the rest of your life.
I tell you, that's a pretty good deal, isn't it, for them?
For them, it's wonderful.
Sure, and also, too, You know, the government could care less if the automobile business goes bankrupt or if it's just a shadow of its former self, because if you live in these compact cities, we're not going to bloody well need the cars anyway. They're going to have us on bicycles. And I thought I would mention something to the rewilding of America. You can Google that easily enough, the rewilding project. And this is really wacko. This is really crazy. But there's a bunch of websites on that. But can I, if I may be so bold, can I recommend a guest for your show?
Real quick, and then I want to respond to what you just said about rewilding.
Okay, you'll probably roll your eyes when I mention where he's from, but his name is Cody Willard, and he's from Fox Business News. He talks about the Illuminati on numerous occasions, and I think he would make a good guest.
Well, I'll look into that. I want to go back to what you're talking about, the rewilding, because starting back with Richard Nixon, we went into this program of the environmentalism. Nixon founded the EPA. What was really going on had nothing to do with the environment. It had to do with economics, because back when Nixon was president, we were already running out of enough gold to collateralize our national debt. And some countries were starting to ask for, well, you know, we want to hold the gold over here since you owe us so much money. So Nixon basically slammed the door on the gold vault rather than see it emptied out. And what they started doing is they started setting aside large areas of U.S. public land, sometimes private land. There was a lot of confiscation going on. And the idea being that these lands were allowed to basically stay wild. The American people were not allowed to go into them anymore. And they're simply being held as collateral on the national debt. And it's a huge amount of real estate. And they've got all these little different programs to sort of conceal the true scale of how much of America's lands have already been pledged as collateral. And they called it wilderness rivers and heritage sites and wetlands and roadless areas and all these different names. And if you look at any one program, it's got a little bit of land here and there. But if you put all these programs together, it's a huge amount of real estate, including major natural resources. When Bill Clinton created the Grand Staircase Escalante Monument, it basically locked away huge coal deposits away from the people of Utah, which was a violation of Utah's statehood agreement, because that coal is supposed to fund their public school system. But, these monuments and everything, they put fancy signs on them, but the reality is they're the collateral for all the borrowing the government has been doing. And so when they talk about rewilding and getting us into the cities, what they're basically doing, they're evicting us before the foreclosure on the lands that were basically pledged on the government's debt. And what is really angry, and the reason Americans need to understand this is what's going on, we didn't agree to any of this stuff. We didn't agree to any of this stuff. We're always voting for the guys who are going to lower taxes and get us out of debt and stop the runaway spending. And instead, we get governments that spend like crazy and borrow like crazy. And the problem with our government, they're in charge of such a large, powerful nation. The reason they're not trying to pay any attention about bringing back the manufacturing or bringing back the jobs, they are absolutely convinced that all they have to do is tread water, and eventually we, the American people, will sort of figure out how to get the economy going all on our own. And then they can take credit for it and say, hey, we got you through the emergency. This is why they're raising house prices back up to make the banks happy. They've let jobs go to other countries to make the corporations happy. They are absolutely convinced that somehow we're going to figure it all out for ourselves and get ourselves back to making money again that they can then take from us, as they have always been doing. It's not going to happen, because the investment capital to drive the new manufacturing enterprises just isn't there. The money for R&D to create new technologies on which to base new products is not there. They just slashed NASA's budget again. And so, in a lot of ways, I don't think our government could destroy this economy any more effectively if they were trying. And who knows? The people who are saying that this is intentional, it may well be. And the goal may have been to basically destroy what's left of the American Republic. That means it'll be kept around in vestigial form for ritual reasons, but the real control of the country is passing to the bankers who own the Federal Reserve, most of whom are not even American. Okay, anyway, that was Mike, and moving right along here then. I'm sorry, I didn't realize we had let him go. So anyway, we're looking at the situation where they're trying to boost the housing market, because all of consumer credit, all of that is based on the equity that you have in your home. Well, the equity is gone. It's evaporated. I mean, I have a close family member who is having to sell their home because she lives in California. The property taxes went right through the roof. Fixed income, as so many of our elderly people are, having to sell the house. Everything she worked her entire life for is dissolving right in front of her eyes, and she didn't do anything to deserve it. Not one thing. Speaking of California, Moody's has put California on the downgrade watch. It's one step away from saying, don't buy California's bonds, they're going to be worthless. I wonder if Arnold Schwarzenegger still feels the same way about the economic girly men. We'll be right back.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future, and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here, and we're talking about the economy. And if you want to join us on the air, the number is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. Boy, the show is going by way, way too fast. I've got so much to talk about. I'm going to skip down here a little bit. Okay, I'm going to indulge in a little bit of a gloat here. As you know, earlier in the week, we caught the BBC miscaptioning a photograph of a crowd in Iran. The original caption implied that the crowd was protesting the stolen election, that they were pro-Mousavi, so forth and so on. We caught a photo taken of the same rally in the Los Angeles Times, with a somewhat wider point of view, showing that Ahmadinejad was there on the dais, waving at people and being cheered. It was a pro-Ahmadinejad rally. Amazingly enough, the LA Times also had a caption trying to imply that this was an anti-Ahmadinejad rally. It was pro-Mousavi, you know, democracy, overthrow, blah, 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 blah. Huge embarrassment. We put the picture side by side. We put it up on the website. Today, the BBC acknowledged the miscaptioning. They had already changed the caption back. But they actually, and I have to applaud them for this, they were upfront about it. They acknowledged the miscaptioning, they apologized, and they basically credited whatreallyhappened.com in their article on the BBC website. So I'm feeling very, very good about that. And my wife was quick to point out that it seems like since late yesterday, when this was really going around about the obviously miscaptioned photos, the media focusing on Iran seems to have backed way off. In other words, I think we thwarted a coup d'etat in Iran. And I think that's something that those of you who got involved in, on Twitter and Facebook and here at whatreallyhappened.com and here at GCN, I think we can pat ourselves a little bit on the back there. But we must move on here. And now, of course, we're seeing this huge shift into the push for a war on North Korea. And everybody's talking about how North Korea is getting ready to fire a missile towards Hawaii on July 4th. Obviously, a great deal of symbolism here. Now, folks, the type of rocket they're talking about, the Taipodong 2, is not going to get anywhere near Hawaii. It just doesn't have the range. You could say that North Korea is going to launch a missile in the direction of the moon. I can throw this pencil in the direction of the moon. Doesn't mean it's going to get there. It just starts out on the direction of whatever I happen to be aiming it at here. So we're seeing this huge dog and pony show. There's this gigantic floating radar platform. They actually had photos of it in some of the stories out there today about this fortifying Hawaii against North Korea. And this floating radar, it's basically been hanging out in our harbor for going on 3.5-4 years now. They're tinkering with it and trying to get it to work and so forth and so on. And every time they have a big naval exercise, they'll drag it out to the ocean and it'll do its radar thing. Then they bring it back in and work on it some more. So that's out at sea right now. There were photos of it on the newspapers. And so they're out there and probably they're going to have a big military exercise and have a lot of fun. But the reality is that, first of all, North Korea is carrying out a rocket test. They are not attacking. They're not saying they're attacking. Let's be honest. North Korea, there are many things. Kim Jong-il is a lot of very weird things, especially with those Elvis sunglasses. But he is not suicidal. Like any other head of state, he has a monstrous, monstrously huge ego. Every head of state has a huge ego. They dream at night of the statues that will be built to their memory and their faces on the coinage and on the postage stamps. And they're not going to do anything that's going to result in a war that will kill off all those future generations of potential worshippers who are going to look at their faces on the postage stamp and then turn them around and lick them. They're not going to do that. Kim Jong-il is not attacking Hawaii. I live here. I'm not worried about it. Neither should you be. But this is all posturing because the United States has finally realized they're not going to get traction for a war in Iran. But they got to have a war someplace. They've wrecked the economy. They're desperate for a war because they truly believe that you, the American people, are stupid enough that if they can pick a fight with anybody, you'll line up right behind the flag and you'll salute and you'll throw whatever's left of your money and the lives of your children onto whoever bayonets you're told to throw them at. And that's how desperate our government is to start a war. The one in Iraq isn't going very well. The one in Afghanistan isn't going very well. They're trying to get one going in Iran. That isn't working too well. The one they tried to start in Russian Georgia was over almost before it began. Now they're trying to get one going with North Korea. So now we have this warship, the USS John McCain. It's named for Senator John McCain's father, who was a Navy admiral. And this ship is getting ready to interdict, which is a fancy name for stop, this Korean ship, which is basically traveling up the coast. They're going to stop it and board it and search it. Now, this is kind of a lot of like what the Somali pirates have been doing. And the North Koreans are basically taking the same point of view, that the United States does not have the authority to simply stop ships in the middle of the ocean in international waters and board them and search them. And Pyongyang is already saying that this is the kind of provocation to which they're basically saying it will be an act of war. And I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm willing to bet you North Korea has suckered in the U.S. There's going to be nothing on that ship. It's a ship full of kimchi or something like that. Because they're playing this. They know how desperate our government is to get something going. And that desperation, that hunger, that yearning for the taste of blood allows North Korea to sort of play where the U.S. is going to be looking. So, we'll see what they find on the ship. And, of course, it's always entirely possible the U.S. might plant something to justify a war. We know there was at least one effort to plant weapons of mass destruction in Iraq following the invasion that fell apart when they were bombed by their own airplanes. So talk about the gang who couldn't shoot straight. So they're pushing this thing forward, and they're trying to say weapons of mass destruction is a big deal, and the U.S. has said it will not accept North Korea as a nuclear state. And folks, I want to tell you, this is the most hypocritical thing in the history of the world, where the U.S. is going around the world bombing and killing people because they maybe kind of sort of might have nuclear weapons, and nuclear weapons are bad, except ours, of course. Ours are the sweetest-smelling nuclear weapons in the world. We print them in bright, pretty colors, and Jesus comes down and kisses them in the middle of the night. But here's the reality, folks, for all the talk about concern about North Korea and Iraq and Iran and all the rest of it. One and only one nation has ever actually used nuclear weapons of mass destruction on the civilians of another country, and that country is the United States of America. The U.S. is the only nation to have actually used nukes on civilians in another country. No other nation has done so. Every other nation has nuclear weapons. And the U.S. claims it has nuclear weapons as a deterrent to keep from being invaded. Good reason to have them. And if you will notice very carefully, so far, the United States, and for that matter Israel, are only invading countries that don't actually have nuclear weapons. They said Iraq had them, then they invaded. No nuclear weapons. They said Iran might be wanting to get them, and we're trying to invade, but we, the American people, are basically being very forceful and saying, no, we got suckered once, we're not going to do it again. Can we invade if we claim they, you know, rigged their election? No, if you want a war over a rigged election, let's start in Florida. So that's not working, and in a scene right out of Michael Moore's Canadian Bacon, they're sitting around the planning table. Who can we have a war with? We need an enemy. We need an enemy to crank up defense industries, and we need an enemy to get the people to accept the deteriorating economy and the lowering of their lifestyle. We need a war to make us all rich and make all the American people poor and get away with it. You know, we got to find somebody. Well, let's go after North Korea. And that's what they're trying to do. And it's the same game. North Korea hasn't done a darn thing to threaten the United States of America. The U.S. is hungry for a war. They want to kill people to make money. We'll be right back.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
We will not.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. Last segment, how the show has flown by. I'm seriously thinking of taking this GCN show to 2 hours just because there's so much going on here. Anyway, here's the situation. People in the chat room are saying they know what's in the Korean ship. It's full of tribbles, which if you're a Star Trek fan is these little furry little animals without a head or a tail, and they breed profusely. And they're kidding me because I actually have one that hit Bill Shatner on the head from the original series way long ago. I'm giving my age away here. All right, anyway, getting back to the situation in Korea, one final thing, and then I want to move on to something else here. North Korea actually announced today, okay, in the second government-level talks between North and South Korea, see, they're not really getting ready to whack each other. Anyway, North Korea is willing to completely lift all travel restrictions on inter-Korean border crossings that were imposed last December in order to help solve problems at companies operating in the Gaesong Industrial Complex. This is a large industrial, you know, factory, stuff that the U.S. used to have. And they've got this large complex, and it basically is right on the border. And so North Korea is saying, okay, if you're working in this complex, you can go back and forth, and, you know, there are no body cavity searches as you go back and forth. Now, does this sound like the action of a country that wants to pick a fight with their southern neighbor? Or is this the first signs of a possible reunification of the Koreas, like we saw in Germany not too long ago? To say, let's turn it back into one country and stop letting outsiders come in and trick us into fighting each other, which is what the U.S. seems to be doing right now. So, now I want to talk a little bit about James von Brunn, because this is just getting completely out of hand. As you heard on the news break coming into the show, there was a big memorial about the slain guard and how heroic he was, and they're laying it on with a trowel is what they're doing here, because we've got witnesses, we've got transcripts from interviews with the witnesses who saw him shot by the other guards. I think the reason that we have not seen any security videos from that museum is because it doesn't show von Brunn shooting the guard. It sees the other guards are doing all the shooting. We saw that on the door, on the glass, these large impacts. Those are far too large to be from a .22, which von Brunn had. So the U.S. government is dealing with a huge public relations disaster on their hands because, you know, they've demonized this guy for killing the guard. And it turns out he didn't kill the guard. Well, gee whiz, all of a sudden, the guards are looking like goofballs, and James von Brunn is starting to look like, well, maybe, you know, he shouldn't have been there with a rifle. But hey, if he didn't even fire the rifle, maybe he was donating it. It's old enough to be an item in a museum. It's 100 years old. Maybe it's inscribed, carried by such and such at the Auschwitz camp or something. We don't know. And so they're out to demonize this guy, and it got to such a ridiculous extent. Yesterday they came out and they said, oh, they found the FBI. The FBI, and I emphasize that specially because if you know COINTELPRO, you know the FBI loves to plant information. They plant evidence. They'll fake stuff left and right. Okay, so they're now claiming he had child porn on his laptop. Well, boy, if we're going to make somebody seem evil in the eyes of the public, child porn will definitely do it. Guys, he's 88 years old. He's not interested in porn of any kind. Adult, grown-up, sideways, animal, mineral, vegetable, it doesn't matter. I'm in my 50s. I don't look at Playboy and Penthouse on the magazine rack anymore. I go right to Popular Mechanics. This is another U.S. government hoax. And the other one just came out just before airtime. Now they have found material on his laptop, you know, where he truly felt Israel intended to attack the USS Liberty. And that the government has been covering that up. Ooh. As long as they've gone to manufacturing this supervillain, I mean, they're trying to link him to everybody. They've linked him to Ron Paul. They've linked him to the 9/11 Truth Movement. Now they're linking him to the USS Liberty people. Next week, it'll be the clog dancers and Darth Vader. And, you know, people who tear the tags off of their couch cushions are all in cahoots with James von Brunn, who terrorized the Holocaust Museum with an unfired .22 caliber rifle. I mean, it's amazing the degree of desperation and panic that we are seeing in the government and the corporate media right now. I mean, just the more shrill the claims get, the more Glenn Beck just goes into those upper registers in his voice, the more obvious it is that they're afraid. They know they have lost the war for the minds of America and the world. And interestingly enough, we reported earlier in the week on this Zogby poll, where more Americans are coming to the blogs for their political news than go to radio, TV, magazines, or even television. Even television is now less of an influence over the political minds of America than the blogs here. And almost immediately thereafter, we saw all kinds of hoaxes flooding onto the internet, trying to make the, they're desperate to make the internet look goofy. You know, one that's going around now, because, and I have personal knowledge, so I'm going to spare you this one right now. They're sending around these two photos that are being claimed to have been taken on a tourist's camera inside the Air France plane that broke up, and it's looking back and the tail of the plane has ripped off and people are flying out. Folks, it's a hoax. Those two pictures are from the season one of the ABC television show Lost. I know. I work on it. I was there. I've been on that set. Okay? That wasn't in the air over the Atlantic. It was filmed on the sound stages at the Hawaii State Studio complex near Diamond Head. It's a hoax. And they're trying to put all these hoaxes out there. Okay, like the one about Barack Obama and applying for aid as a foreign student at Occidental College. That one is also a hoax. They're trying to put all these hoaxes out there because they're desperate to harm the credibility of the internet. You would think that it would make sense for the TV networks if they want to get their audience back. And I'd be willing to let them have it. Here's the irony of this thing. If the TV networks were to start telling you people the truth, what you need to know, a watchdog on government abuse pointing out the lies, they'd win their audience back. I'd shove you towards them if that were to happen. Because I'm not making any money or having all that much fun doing this. If the TV networks start telling you the truth of what's going on, I'm going to say, hey, don't come here anymore. Go back to the TV networks. They're finally doing their job. But instead, they can't do that because they're, unfortunately, they've lied so much for the government, they're tied in with the government. When the government goes down, the corporate media is going with them. So they can't do anything to bring back their own credibility. All they can do is send out public relations people to load the internet with hoaxes and fakes and all kinds of nonsense stuff. They're back already with the Apollo moon landings, didn't happen stuff. Don't fall for it. Don't forward it. Double check everything. You know, there are all kinds of websites that point out these online hoaxes. Check everything with them first. Don't let these people get going because their goal is to wreck the credibility of the internet so they can steal the audience back or at least convince their corporate masters, hey, we've got them back. Please give us our salaries again. So, desperation on the cusp of madness. Absolutely, absolutely. All righty, let's see. Interesting little story here. We're almost to the end of the show here, and we're running out of room here. But apparently in the Detroit News, they have discovered that the police and medical examiner in the city of Detroit are purposely, systematically under-reporting homicides. They're reclassifying them as justifiables, death by suicides, death by accident in the middle of a fistfight, all kinds of things because they're trying to lower the city's homicide rate to try and keep people from leaving or to encourage new people to come in. But apparently the murder rate is so out of control in Detroit, it's really, really a crisis. And it's one more reminder. Anything you're getting from official sources has to be taken with a grain of salt, whether it's homicide rates, unemployment rates, green shoots, glimmers of hope, so forth and so on. It's just, you know, the government is desperate to hang on to power. They're desperate to hang on to their wealth. Lying is a tool of statecraft. We're all raised to be truthful because that makes us more useful to the corporate masters. But in their point of view, lying is just one of the skills that you have to be a ruler and an elite and a corporate master, as it were. Now, one last little quick story. Back during Hurricane Katrina, when the levees were failing because of lack of maintenance and people were online being very critical about the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, and there were all these people coming on saying, well, you are all idiots for living in a flood zone anyway. Turns out the Army Corps of Engineers were using taxpayer-funded computers to post their own comments onto blogs to shift the blame for the disaster away from them. We'll be back tomorrow morning for our end of the week, 2-hour wrap-up, 11 a.m. Central Time. Until then, stay safe, be well, hug your loved ones, stay healthy, get angry, be skeptical. Aloha, America.